Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's and a welcome to our visitors who are with us today as well. This is the last Sunday of the Christian church year. And so we review what has been the most important thing throughout time, what Christians and God's people have looked forward to, what they've looked at, what they've focused on, Christ as our King. We'll follow along the order of service as it's printed out for you in the bulletin and also projected on the wall. We'll begin with our first hymn, Hail, O Once Despised Jesus. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Come to worship Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, the one who is, who was, and is to come. Come to worship Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Good shepherd, true vine. Wonderful counselor, prince of peace. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God calls us to be his children and to live in his kingdom. Let us come before our King and confess our many sins. Sovereign God, we confess that although we willingly say that Jesus is King, we have failed to bow our knees before him. Instead, we have granted our allegiances to the relationships and material goods of this world, setting up earthly thrones for ourselves. Forgive us for not bending and shaping our stubborn wills to honor you, the ruler of all nations. In your mercy, hear our prayer of confession and grant us grace that we may be loyal servants in your kingdom. Through your Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Through the crucified body and blood of Christ the King, we have been given a pardon from God. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We join with all the saints in heaven and on earth, proclaiming Jesus as the Savior of all. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, it is your will to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed King of all creation. Unite all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, under the glorious and gentle rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we see Jesus as King who has conquered death and rules over us and all things for eternal life. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom of God to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is God's word. Continue with the duet.
Praise the name of the Lord. blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel from Matthew chapter 27, we see how our king humbled himself for us so that we would have life. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
In the name of Jesus Christ, your King, fellow believers in him. There's a movie series I'm sure you're familiar with where when a spy receives his message, after hearing that message, it says, this message will self-destruct in 7 seconds. There are TV shows where when a person meets with the FBI or CIA and they hear the information they need to hear, at the end of that meeting, you can almost predict exactly what's going to come. One of the people says, and this meeting never happened. Of course, that rolls over into our public lives a little bit too, into American culture where people think some of their actions and behaviors can be tucked away and hidden. And so we come up with cute little phrases like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You get a sense that the truth today is something that people don't want to see the light of day. It's got to be hidden. It's got to be kept away. It's got to be tucked aside because maybe it's too scandalous. Maybe it's too horrific. Maybe it's too obscene. Maybe it's going to affect people's marriage or relationships with others. Or if people find out the truth, it's just going to completely undermine credibility. Well, thank goodness Matthew doesn't take that advice today. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas or anything else. This meeting never happened. What Matthew puts before you in chapter 27 is the blunt truth that happened to Jesus Christ. It's as if by God telling you this on the pages of Scripture, God himself is proclaiming to you, I've got nothing to hide. Here it is. And so God puts, if you will, almost what's most horrific and scandalous and obscene out in the pages of Scripture for the entire world to see. This is your king. And arrested, stripped down, scarlet robed, crown of thorns wearing, staff in hand, salivated upon and spit upon, mocked mercilessly and beat in the head over and over again, king. You know, so scandalous and horrific and obscene is this picture of Jesus Christ that, did you know, in the Quran, they try to make it disappear. They try to make it as if this thing never happened, or what happened in Jerusalem needs to stay in Jerusalem. You need to hear this. This is what the Quran says. They killed him not, nor crucified him, but it was made to appear to them basically as such. That's really saying then Matthew got it wrong. God, who wrote through Matthew, got it wrong. This never happened to Jesus. It just looked like it happened to Jesus. This whole thing was pretend. Do you know anybody who believes that today? They are still doing what those soldiers did. They are the ones playing pretend, only they're doing it today in the name of religion. Not us. This is what happened. This is the truth. This is your king. And I can't get past it. There's something you need to know about this section of Scripture from Matthew chapter 27. This entire section that is before you today is senseless. It's useless. It's good for nothing. What do I mean? That absolutely nothing that happens in the section so far that I've referred to does anything to atone for your sin. Everything the soldiers did in the praetorium to Jesus Christ did nothing to advance him as substitute for you or to make him savior of the world. There's nothing here that they did to him that helps you to be holy and righteous in the sight of God. Not one thing. The tenderizing that happens to the sacrifice prior to going to the cross meant nothing. What forgives sin is what happens to Jesus on the cross itself. So if you will, this is completely senseless that happens to him and doesn't advance the situation at all. You need to see, though. You need to see why Jesus and how Jesus went through this. Why he was willing to endure this senseless stuff. Look at his attitude. He goes through it completely without a word. He keeps his mouth shut. He goes through this without doing a single thing. I want you to understand, when we present the gospel lesson to you in church, usually, most of the time, Jesus says something. These are the words of the Son of God who came to earth and spoke these things directly to us. But in this lesson that's before you today, Jesus says nothing. Jesus does nothing but sit in a chair and endure. This is the one who created human hands in the Garden of Eden. And now, as creator of all and king, he allows and permits these hands to repeatedly strike him in the head over and over again. He did nothing. This is the Son of God who on day two separated water from water, the water below from the water above, and he created the expanse, what we call sky. Except on this day of his life, the Son of God did nothing to control water and let it fly from somebody's mouth over and over again to saturate his face. He did nothing. This is the one who allowed his ears to be filled with abusive things. You're not really the king. Can you imagine the types of scandalous things those soldiers were filling his ears with, trying to minimize him and cause him to lose heart over and over again, saying these things. And yet from the very beginning, from even before time, the only thing he's ever wanted is union and communion with people, to be one with them, to fellowship with them, to love them, be one with them. And yet here he is doing nothing, and he doesn't even retaliate. He doesn't throw threats back. He doesn't abuse a miracle to do something to get at them or to get at their family. He just does nothing. We could even take it a step further, that no sinful thought ever crept into a chamber of his heart or mind and then seeped out of it as if the thought even entered his mind. He never even thought about it, about doing something at these people. That's not me. And that's not you. But that's your king. Only the king of love, Jesus Christ, could do this. Only the King, Jesus, would so openly endure such scandal. Senseless scandal. To endure and go through this and preserve his integrity and righteousness and holiness so as to be and offer himself when the time comes fully ready to be that sacrifice. That's your king. Do you know who needs to hear this? We do. People who have acted more like these soldiers instead of the saints of God. Do you know who needs to hear this? We do. People who have played pretend and make-believe and dress up with their religion and mocked Jesus Christ in the process, in the way we've daily conducted our lives. Do you know who needs to hear this? People who have elevated earthly authority over their king, their eternal king, and made comments like, well, I'm going to excuse myself from following the Ten Commandments and doing what my Lord says because, well, I have to obey earthly orders. I've got to do what my boss says on earth. You can imagine those soldiers saying the same thing to Jesus on the day they met him as king of the universe. But I was only following Pilate's orders. Do you know who needs to hear this? Spouses who are failing to endure with each other and bite their tongue in their own marriage. Stop the fight. And instead, they say, well, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you say those things to me. Well, I'm not going to let you get away with that. You can't talk to me like that. And so they foster the fight. And it's fierce. And sin creeps into their heart and seeps out of it in their thoughts and flows out of their mouth. And the fight just goes on and on. Do you know who needs to hear this? Parents who have a veneer of Christianity in their home, in the way they work with their kids, but it's as light as can be. But boy, do they let their kids do everything and anything worldly. They give them the world. But they're really failing to give them Jesus. Do you know who needs to hear this? Kids. Because he won't listen and she won't sit still and neither one of them will be obedient to what their parents are trying to say. They're doing their own thing and they're really turning into Pharisees. you know who needs to hear this? You and me. And people who are so oppressed and abused by this world that there have been times in your life where you have looked up to the Lord in disgust and said, Lord, what's the point? This just seems so senseless. Why should I keep trying? What is this worth anyway? Christians, this is your king. And the reason why we fight is because Christ is your king. And as long as you have life and breath in your lungs, this is the king for you. Do you see what he does today? He doesn't just endure and go through all of this senseless stuff that's for nothing while retaining his holiness. But look at what after that he's still willing to do. The scripture says, then they led him away to crucify him. You want your sins hidden? Well, I do. But that doesn't happen in Vegas. When you commit sins and try to walk away the next morning and the morning after, they don't just miraculously explode and disappear 7 seconds after you leave the room. You can't just wish it away. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to this world to take that cross and conquer sin and save sinners. This is a meeting that God doesn't hide. This is a meeting that really took place. And he puts it out in the open for everybody to see. He's not embarrassed by it. This isn't some scandal to the Lord, even though it truly is a scandal that happened to somebody who is innocent. It's in this cross that this upside world by God is turned right side up. Said a little differently in 2 Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And so every time you confess your sin to the Lord, every time you take what's hideous and disgusting and truly scandalous, and you don't hide it, and you turn away from sin, and you take it to your king, King comes to you in power by the gospel, which is just something incredible. In the gospel, God says something to you. And in the gospel, God does something for you. He doesn't just sit there and say nothing anymore, but in the gospel, he says, you're mine. By the power of the gospel, your sin is forgiven. And mine. By the power of the gospel, heaven is open to people like you and me who've made their mark in all kinds of places on earth. By the power of the gospel, the eternal love of God is poured out on you unending. By the power of the gospel, you're not some brutal soldier, you're a saint of God. Declared right because God did something. He mounted the cross for you. He became your substitute. He showed you he's Savior. What more can he do to tell you? What more can he do to display just how much he loves you? The victory's yours. For kid-sized sin, kids. For teen-sized sin, teenagers. For adult-sized sin, adults. For spousal-sized sin, spouses. For grandparent-sized sin, for single sin if you're not married. Because in the work and life of Jesus Christ, you really have a king-sized Savior. And because of that love, brothers and sisters, let God's love and work that shows you just how valuable you are, let that overflow in all that you say and do. Let it make its mark in your life. Let it make its mark in the way you treat your spouse. Let it make its mark in the way you treat your enemies. Let it make its mark in the way you treat your kids. Let it show in the way that you conduct yourself at the office or on the street here in Howard's Grove. Let it show maybe in the way that you bite your tongue at times and endure. Or in the ways that, for the sake of God's glory, you speak up and need to say something. Because you have a king. And what Jesus did on the cross and by his resurrection, you can tell he was not playing pretend. He was playing for keeps. And because Christ is our king, we're not playing pretend either. He's ours in time and for eternity. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
And let us pray. Jesus, we hail you as our King. You wore a crown of thorns for us. Now you are seated far above all authority, and you rule over everything for the good of your church. We long for the day when you will destroy death and raise your people to eternal life with you. Heavenly Father, please be with Marge Belt, who has had health struggles this month and was recently hospitalized. Bless the care that she receives and grant recovery according to your will. And in your name and in Jesus' name we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Take your seats. We invite you to come forward at the direction of the ushers, and visitors, please note our practice of close communion. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. Strengthen and preserve. take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart at peace with God. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being with us here in God's house today, and also to those of you who are joining us online or on cable TV. Please tune in again. After service, if you're able to help out with wiping down the pews between service and Bible class, we greatly appreciate anyone's help with that. We'll be mobilizing in the back for that. Today we are continuing after the break for the last couple weekends, continuing with our relationships Bible study here in the sanctuary between services. We look forward to sharing that with you. Then on Tuesday evening, we've got a craftsman's Bible study starting up for guys. Please check that out in the announcements, and we'd love to have you join us for that if you're able.
Yeah. And I was just going to mention too, sorry, the atmosphere for that is going to be very casual, laid back. So any guy, feel free to join us. That's our own stipulation, is you got to be a guy. Sorry, ladies. But you have your own thing, right? There's Mindful Moms, and there's amazing ministry for women in our church. It's amazing. But I would love to have as many guys as possible. We're going to study God's Word together about 30 to 45 minutes, and then after that, we will just hang out for a little bit, enjoy each other's company, get to know each other a little bit better. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you. Then coming up this week, we have Thanksgiving worship services Wednesday evening at 6:30 and Thursday morning at 9 a.m. That Wednesday evening service will be live streamed, and so if you'd like to tune in to that, you're welcome to do that as well. Then for Pastor Miller's Thursday evening Law and Gospel class, there are student sheets on the table in the library if you'd like to pick those up today. This week, the Wednesday morning and Thursday evening Bible classes will not be held. Those will resume again the following week. Those are the announcements that I have. Any others that should be highlighted today? If not, then please greet one another before you leave, and God's blessings on your day.